A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Soul Sisters. I am Dara Golub.
And I'm Jessica.
Hello, Jesse.
Hey, Dee, what's up?
I don't know if I told you this story.
Ooh, tell me now.
I don't know if we've talked about this particular film that means so much to me and is relevant with our guest, Cindy Wilson.
Do tell.
Of the B-52s. Earth Girls Are Easy. We've been talking about nostalgia. Are you an Earth Girls Are Easy person?
So I think that I saw it like 25 or more years ago.
So like one time, like you've seen it, but it doesn't like mean much to you.
I really
life.
Don't remember much about it.
Oh my God. Okay. Formative film for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was like probably like late '80s, 89 or something. Gina Davis, Jeff Goldblum, Jim Carrey, Damon Wayans. I think Michael McKean is in it.
I didn't remember all those people were in it.
Jim Carrey before, like living in color era.
Yeah.
And they play furry aliens that come to Earth, like that crash land in Gina Davis's pool, and are furry, colorful aliens that are then shaved and have to like live this human life. And it's a totally trippy 80s musical science fiction film.
Musical, like the soundtrack's really
like,
good?
They do musical numbers. Like,
really?
There are several times when the cast is singing and dancing.
Can you explain why this
like
was
Julie
formative
Brown, because
for you?
Well, it was, what? It's, isn't it clear? I mean, like, it's a romantic comedy. There's music. Julie Brown, I think it was like based on a Julie Brown story or music or something like that. And the reason I know the B-52s is from this film.
Oh, that's funny.
They have a song towards the end when like there's like a chase thing happening, and it's the most recognizable, distinctive sound, and it's not one of their like big hits, but it's something that like anytime I hear a B-52 song now, I know that's what it is, because and it brings me back to that amazing time of watching that film. And I mean, it's a cult classic. I mean, people love
that's awesome.
This movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if that's where Gina Davis met Jeff Goldblum.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've looked into this at some point in my life.
Yeah.
Like she sings, I think she lip syncs.
Whoa.
I mean, I don't think it's her voice.
Can we have a party soon where we watch?
I mean,
just like me and you party watching this movie. Awesome.
I love it. Yeah.
Okay. That's
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah.
My reference for B-52s is that Love Shack was played at every middle school dance that I can remember.
Oh, totally.
Which I was thinking yesterday, like, I wish we had video of what me and my classmates looked like when we were like 12 years old. Dancing on a dance floor to Love Shack.
Probably not all that different than they look in the video.
Like
just
so
wild
ridiculous.
Abandon. Like, I don't give a
probably.
Shit.
Probably.
Yeah.
Like, what were our moves that we were using back then in, like, 94?
Oh,
whatever.
God. I hope they were not as good as they are now. I hope we've evolved.
Yeah. I think we've definitely evolved. Although it's all relative.
Right.
We'll be embarrassed at ourselves 20 years
absolutely.
From now.
Absolutely. So good.
Yeah. So Cindy
so cool
Wilson. Yeah, she's fucking awesome.
So awesome. Yeah.
I want to be her. I want to be friends with her. I love her accent.
Yeah.
She wore sunglasses throughout this entire thing.
I love her rock star haircut, which you never get to see. I don't know if like that's how maybe she's worn her hair in life throughout the B-52's career, but you always think of it as these big bouffants and beehives.
That they had in the videos and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So she looks like a proper like rock star today. You know,
totally. Yeah, she was awesome. So she told us all about B-52's history and also about what she's doing now, which is a lot of stuff, including a new album that's coming out in November, which we have already listened to, and it's really cool. So this is a good one.
This is a good one. And she hinted at a possible B-52's documentary.
Yes, she did. And maybe even a couple of new B-52 songs.
Yeah.
So...
coming at you.
Yeah.
B-52's life. Love it.
They've never gone away, but they're also kind of back.
Yeah, they're touring.
Yeah. So anyway, check okay. Guys, hope you enjoy this one as much as we did. Cindy Wilson on Soul Sisters. All right. Well, start chatting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sounds good.
Let's go for it.
Cindy Wilson, welcome to Soul Sisters. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
What's going on back home in Georgia right now with the hurricane? What do you hear?
Well, it's crazy. It's not as bad as
they thought.
Everybody was like thinking it was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's dropped down to a category one.
Okay.
So that's like a gust of tropical storm.
Right.
It's funny how it's all relative, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's more rain. I mean, we've had a lot of rain this year, but, you know. It's the dams are filling up and it'll be good, you know.
Yeah.
But everybody's not in danger.
Okay, that's good. That's important. Yeah. How long have you moved away from Athens, right? And then moved back?
I did. I mean, you know, the B-52 started in 76 or so. And as soon as we signed with a record label, Warner Brothers, and Island for Europe, we took the money. Put it all in a pot and bought a house in Lake Maypack, New York, in Putnam County.
That is my favorite thing.
What part of your favorite thing?
That they lived in a house together.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy.
That's the dream.
Best. Yeah, that is definitely the dream.
But it was, you know, the problem is we probably should have just moved directly to New York City instead of going out the country. And because there was just too much. We were touring together. You know, we were living together. We only had one car out there, and the house wasn't winterized, so I just stayed under the electric blanket. You know, when we were there in the winter, but it was beautiful, and we did have some really great times there. We bought this video camera. And used to, I mean, to amuse ourselves. This is one thing great about the B-52s is, you know, that's how we started, is amusing ourselves. So we'd make up, like, TV shows, you know, and it was just outrageous, you know. So I think Keith Strickland holds a lot of those old videos.
Really?
I can't wait to be released, when they're exposed. Yeah.
Dara films everything in her life. Like,
is that right?
She's that person too. Yeah. So she's getting very excited.
That's
over her.
Great.
Oh my God! Is there?
Yeah,
any
He's got them. There, we might be using some footage from that. You know, there was one night where we were totally high. I'm not going to say on what, but but it was very psychedelic, and it was, you know, everybody was like, it was crazy, very surreal, very David Lynch, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? Is that right? Yeah. So it was crazy, you know, Twin Peaks and Maypack, you know.
Oh my God.
When is the last time you've seen any of that footage?
I haven't seen it for a zillion years.
Oh my God.
Keith Strickland's got it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're doing a documentary. They're putting together one this year. And, you know, we've been together 40 years. The
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. And it's been, you know, in one form or another. Sometimes I was pregnant out at home and, you know, and other times, you know, Keith Strickland left.
Uh-huh.
You know, he went down to Key West. He evacuated because it was a mandatory evacuation in Key West.
Okay.
So he's safe.
Yes,
okay. He's staying at his sister.
Good.
So, but, you know, it's been together 40 years in one form or another, and we're going strong, and it's going to be a very hectic schedule this coming year.
Yeah, this year's incredible.
It's nuts. It's really
I mean, first
really
of all,
crazy.
You already put out two EPs.
Oh, and the solo thing. Well, that's another
right,
thing.
I mean, you're going back and forth, right? Isn't the B-52s touring and your solo touring, like,
yeah, back to back. Sometimes I have time, you know, like couple of weeks here and a couple of weeks there. But it's going to be definitely busy, but it's that kind of thing. Sometimes life is like that. And, you know.
Yeah, you got to be grateful for it, right?
I'm very excited. Yeah, you have to pace yourself.
Right.
You know, get a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
You know, don't burn your candle too much.
Right.
At both ends. Yeah. But, you know, I've loved meeting a lot of fans from, I get to exposed to much more than when I'm out with the B-52s, mm-hmm. you know. So you're much guarded, more guarded. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But with
the
solo. Does
that mean the team is bigger when you're with the B-52s?
Yes.
Oh, so there's just more insulation around you?
Yeah, more insulation.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're with
now,
the solo,
by yourself, you're like at the merch table. Like,
I'm at the merch table. You know, you do what you know you're supposed to do. And,
yeah.
and that's been a lot of fun, is like starting over again. Mm. But, you know, there are new things that you have to do these days, you know. And T-shirts are definitely one of them, you mm-hmm. know. And you get, but the thing is, you get to talk to fans, and there, it's been a really fascinating to hear what. The B-52s meant to them, but they were really happy to see this creative project coming at a late time for me. You know,
well, your new music is cool.
Very like, well, that's great.
I don't think you would have any kind of barrier accessing a new younger audience.
Yeah,
and yet it's very different.
Yes,
from the B-52s.
It's much different. You know, but it's I'm working. It's not a solo project per se, because I'm working with a team of, you know,
awesome
partners and creative. It's just been really. I'm the pupil. You know.
Yeah.
the older one's supposed to be the, you know, wise one. You know, but I give it a little, you know, little wisdom. But it's been really fun, and to hear their approach and you know what how you do it these days.
Yeah.
And we're back down to getting a van, and packing up the van, and, you know, having a very small footprint as far as equipment.
Right.
And getting everybody, you know, who's in the band to come. And also Dan the man over there, road manager and manager.
All right.
So, we're all in there. It's cracking jokes.
So is that easy
living,
for you?
Living the, you know, drama.
Yeah.
You know?
But you don't mind, like, kind of toggling between the huge setup and being super taken care of and having a giant team to, like, doing things for yourself?
Oh, you know, it's actually, it reminds me of B-52s back in the day when we first started. And that's a gift to be able to have that again, you know? And I'm tripping on it. It's really, really fun. It doesn't seem like a bother, but lots of adventures, you know.
Yeah, there you go. That's good perspective.
Do you also have that feeling of starting this new family? I mean, B-52s were literally a family by the time you started.
Oh,
you know.
Yes. Well, yeah, we started, and we had to do all the. My dad gave us a van to do what we're doing now, you know, with the solo, and. Getting our equipment, packing it, everybody in that van, and we had a 45 independent 45 Rock Lobster and 52 girls. It's the one where the boy is throwing the plates in the air. It's, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a classic 45, and that was the way that you got word of mouth and people hearing what you're doing.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, there's. You know, we were coming up to New York and playing CBGBs and Max's back in the day. And we played Hurrahs. That was about our fourth trip up. And this was after the 45 had been out. And we were doing sound check. And then we looked out the window and there was a line around the block. We said, holy moly, something's happening, you know.
And that was just word of mouth at that point?
Well, there's no computers
or
you know, social media, you know, like that. So it was,
like you weren't on the radio yet,
it was word of mouth. Word of mouth, and it was the 45. I guess the 45 would get played on the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
how did you and Ricky get introduced to music? Or when did that start for you guys?
Oh, well, you know, we came up. Ricky was 4 years older, so I got to sneak into his room and listen to his music.
Yeah.
And I would get my allowance and go buy 45s and albums.
Uh-huh.
And we had But there was a lot of great stuff going on. You know, Ricky was a Beatle maniac. He started with the Ed Sullivan Show. I'm sure you heard those days, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of like a lot of the fans are saying when we were on Saturday Night Live and they saw us perform, they say, where were you?
That became the new Ed Sullivan
Show. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, Ricky was, he was a Beatle maniac and, you know, and his tastes were amazing. And he had, he went through his freak period. And Joni Mitchell, he loved, actually got some really good ideas with her open tunings and her jazz kind of things. And
I'm always so impressed by people who were originally inspired by Joni Mitchell, because she's hard to emulate.
She's hard. Yeah.
Like, that's a really high bar to set for yourself.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So that'll and, make you
Ricky,
great.
Oh, Ricky adored Joni Mitchell. And, you know, and so he was, like, into surprising people, too. And, like, Captain Beefheart was a true original. Mm-hmm. And he was totally a Captain Beefheart fan, you know, and he had Stooges records, and it was really eclectic. I remember he had Donovan and all these really great records, you know. But at one point, you know, Ricky and I was like his, you know, baby sister. He said, "Okay, sing this," you know. And so he worked for a whole summer. Him and Keith Strickland worked at a garbage, picking up garbage, to get enough money to buy a reel-to-reel.
Wow.
You know, when he was really young, you know. And he would use, and then he quit, you know, as soon as he got the money. But he would write music. I think he had four tracks back then. Not much by today's standards, but it was wonderful quality. And so I got to, like sing with Ricky on this reel to reel, and Keith Strickland's got that too. I want to go back and listen to that.
Yeah.
I remember doing a song with him, and you know, we layered it, and you know, it was ridiculous, but it was like I'm not looking for myself. You know, it's the, you know, you're supposed to be looking for yourself. You know, but it was the anthem to being just a crazy, but Ricky loved humor and music, and he's very playful, and his originality in his guitar work was amazing. It was really fun to hear other guitarists mention Ricky as an influence.
Absolutely,
and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you think there was a sense that he had and that you all had at the time of wanting this, of wanting a big project of a rock band? Or because the legend about you guys of how you started, this sort of accidental, or not accidental, but you know.
It can't just be legend, because it's on your website also.
Well, it's not legend.
Well, legend, I know what she means.
But true.
Yeah.
But it sounds like something that wouldn't be true. That's what I'm saying.
But the way the story is told is that it's like, oh, and then we just played, and then it sounded great, and, you know, it kind of.
Well, we all got drunk off the same drink.
We got drunk off a hurricane,
flame drink.
No, it was a volcano drink made of ceramic volcano with Sterno on top, and it had a moat around it, giant moat, and the thing was burning, and the rum was very intoxicating.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what was in this drink that it led to?
It was amazing. So we were conjuring up something there, and then we went to a friend's house afterwards, and he had his, you know, equipment there. He was a musician, and we just were like having fun and just like jamming, you know, and a lot of good stuff came from just that original jam, and we were just cracking up, and so we kind of felt like, okay, this is really good, you know. So let's go and rehearse and get a few songs together and play them at Gray and Julia's Valentine's party. So we had enough time to do that, and that was our premiere. And really, it was never meant to be, you know, for like 40
for
year,
yeah,
you know, kind of thing. But, you know, it was kismet, You know,
yeah.
It was just amazing that everything just fit together. And it was so wonderful.
Had you started writing songs before then? When did songwriting start for you?
Well, not with Fred and Kate, but Ricky.
Like on your own? Or
Ricky.
With Ricky?
Mm-hmm. And it was Keith Strickland. I mean, Keith is like another brother, you know, too. You know, uh-huh. He was hanging out at my parents' house. And, you know, it was... So I've known Keith for a long time.
Yeah.
And
I just want to make sure everyone knows that you are a major songwriter with the band. Because I think often when you have a band that's comprised of men and women, people assume that the men write the songs.
True that.
Or one man.
Yeah. Like there's one mastermind, right. And then the women are just like singing vocals, doing their thing.
You know, it's different things.
And, yeah.
But no, we were very modern in the way that it was. In fact, our music company is Men, Women Together Music Now or something. And that was a zillion years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so it was really fun that, I mean, it was very communal. And everybody was jamming. And, I mean, it didn't matter if you, you know, were formally trained or anything. And in fact, that would have probably been a disadvantage.
Right.
Anyway, so, you know, we would pick up, like, tambourines, congas, you know. And then we'd switch, you know. And, you know, it was just anything to turn things upside down to...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Approach things in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so we had a lot of great combinations. Sometimes it was girls' songs, you know. Sometimes it was, you know, of course, all of us. And, you know, and in fact, there's Ricky and Keith sang with me on... was it Ain't It a Shame or She Breaks for Rainbows? I think it was. And so that was cool, too, you know.
Would you just be writing songs, like having fun and writing songs at the house when you were together and just practicing all the time? Like,
well,
what came out of that house?
Well, going back to Athens, it was very prolific. And we worked hard, you know. And one thing about it is... It sounds like B-52s could be just like a, you know, just off the cuff, you know. But it actually, once you get the puzzle pieces together, you really have to rehearse it and to get it right, you know, and perform it. So there was a lot of rehearsing. And we had a great time.
Like when I watched the Love Shack music video, that's how I imagine you guys were when you were rehearsing.
Well, not with all the people dancing.
Without
but
all the people.
A lot
people.
Of laughing.
Right.
We were
exactly. You guys just had a good time.
And the thing is, when you started, we always like had to talk about gossip first and then recipes.
So Southern.
Just...
That is so Southern.
Recipes
and gossiping. Yeah, I have Southern family, so I can say it.
Yeah, you know, and just, you know, things that we've heard, you know. So, and then we would approach it, you know.
Yeah, that's amazing. So what secrets are going to be unveiled in this documentary?
Well, you know, it's just a lot of good footage from the past, I think, which I think people will be entertained by.
Totally.
And it'll be very interesting.
Yeah. I think your true fans, I'm sure, know the story of the real, you know, roller coaster that has been the story of the B-52s, yeah, but that absolutely. You really, the music has such a deeper meaning than just this sort of joyful, fun play. It really, the way I've understood it is that it got you, this joy got you through such grief.
Absolutely. And we did it to have fun, and it comes through, you know. And there's always sex in every B-52 song. Mm-hmm. It's got to be in there somewhere.
Right. Yeah. Were you the CBGB's lifestyle? Was that rock, sex, drugs, rock and roll? Was that?
No, in fact, we didn't have, screaming sex fans coming at us or anything. But no, it was just like a really kind of communal. You know, of course, when we moved up here, we spread out and met all these wonderful people. And, mm-hmm. but in Athens, there were so many people, you know. And that's one thing I really hated is moving away from, some of the great people in Athens,
yeah.
too.
But how was it going back?
That was wild. You know, I lived in New York City in the West Village for about 12 years.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm including Maya Pack too, but you know, it was after Ricky passed, uh-huh. and we wrote Cosmic Thing. And the thing is, we did not go in to the studio to make a multi-platinum record or anything like that. It was really for a healing thing, see if we could just write together.
I was going to say, talk about writing through grief. That's the album that came out of that? That's
yeah,
crazy.
And if you listen to it, it's a lot of nostalgic looking back at the days in Athens mm-hmm. and the fun times we had.
Yeah, it's a nice
But yeah, the thing is that surprisingly, I felt like Ricky was in the room, and it felt really good. And Keith Strickland did an amazing job. He would travel back and forth from Woodstock, New York. That's where he was living. That's mm-hmm. what he wrote the music, and he was getting over his grief, yeah. you know. And that's he turned to music, which is, anytime you're stressed, it's really the place to go, mm-hmm. you know, really. And I've always found that in my life too. That if things get dark, start working with people and into a creative
right. Well, I'm just going to ask if you're a religious person, if that's also been something that's helped
spiritual.
You.
Yeah. I'm very spiritual. I'm not Jesus thing or anything.
Right, right.
But that's not to say there's not a Jesus consciousness or something.
Right.
But, I'm open to a higher consciousness and that we're all connected. With the loss of Ricky, there was a brief time where I was even mad at God. I think that was a lot of people have that. Mm-hmm. So how could you do this?
If you exist, how could you let that happen
on the planet? And awful. And so many, and we lost so many friends and families, and it was a very scary time. But you go through that dark period and. In your own time, but now having these years to reflect on it, I was extremely lucky to be able to have this special thing, which was the B-52s, and that we got to go all over the world and had so many adventures and do great stuff, and with my brother, and it may have been condensed,
right?
But I had a wonderful, wonderful experience with Ricky, my kids, who are college age now, they never got to meet Ricky, which blows my mind, but they know, the whole stories I tell them, all the stories about
Ricky,
also they're so proud that Ricky's their uncle.
That's awesome.
It's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. I love also about your history that it seems like you recognized times in your life when you needed to focus on other parts of your life that were not the band.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was hard to do, and not a lot of people were doing that back then too.
Yeah, right. Totally.
And I was. Some people thought I was crazy, and some people thought I was the right thing to do.
Did you always know it was temporary?
No. You know, I loved the band, and it was still stress after Ricky's passing, and we worked that album like crazy. We were on the road constantly for years.
Cosmic Thing.
Yeah. And it had multi singles and we went all over the place and everybody got a little burnt out, and it was and it just seemed to me I missed Ricky, you know, even though it was I felt Ricky's presence was there. Mm-hmm. I still missed Ricky.
So you had a record that came out that was made during his
Was bouncing off the satellite,
right?
Which didn't get the attention that it should have gotten.
And the fact that that didn't split you guys up, or you all say, "Okay, we can't. This is too much," or something.
Yeah.
And then about 3 years later, right?
Something like that. I'm kind of foggy about the exact time, but there was some, I was out of my head, I don't know. But it was, we got together, we were still living in New York, and we got together, and we had a room down at near Wall Street, was cheap, and we wrote the whole Cosmic Thing there, you know. And
it's crazy. I think two songs that hit number three.
You know, and it was pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Not Love Jack. It's funny because, like, Rome. When you're looking up interviews with the band from back in the day, all of them seem to be coming from just that moment in time. Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden, you guys were everywhere, on every talk show, on children's shows, variety shows.
It was funny.
Yeah, MTV. You just, like, caught the world's attention that.
Yeah, you know, and Warner Brothers, they were behind us on this one.
Yeah.
So that was great. Yeah.
But can I say, I think it's awesome that your new album is on Kill Rock Stars.
That's a... Hell,
like,
to
that's
the
badass. Yeah,
right. That's badass.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Met Portia. We got together. I mean, and we the solo project. We did the album, and we had the collection of music, and actually we added more later too. But we got the show together, and we did. We wanted to start doing tours. You know, small tours, and getting out there and tweak the music. That's really where you tweak and doing it, making the music come alive in you know,
in real
show
time.
In real time.
Yeah.
And so we played New Orleans and Dallas, and making our way down to Austin, to South by Southwest. And I did a lot of press there. And there was we played two or three times there. And I met Portia of Kill Rock Stars, you know, and we talked. And she heard, came to the show, and she was really interested. And so we talked later and negotiated, and we're in a partnership on this record. So, and I can, and everybody comes up to me and said, "Do you know how cool that is?" I said, "Yeah, that is amazing." Yeah, and it really helps with the extra, with having somebody behind you like that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it's part of the team.
Yeah. So, it's so you've released two singles already.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and the record comes out November 17th.
Amazing.
And it's going to be, we'll have a vinyl, you know, and I think it's going to be
vinyl.
Hot pink.
Yeah. Oh, that'll do great at the merch table. That's awesome.
Yeah, and like I said, it's been a great adventure, and we've got a lot of good feedback from people, and that really, thank you. I know. And people are enjoying the show and enjoying the music. So it's great.
Nice. And it's called Change, right?
Change.
It's a multimedia, and a big part of this whole project is the performance element.
Yes,
a lot of visuals,
a lot of visual multimedia.
It is. We're trying to put more avant-garde elements in it, you know, and multimedia.
Yeah.
And,
are you the artistic director behind all that?
No. Okay. Like I said, it's called a solo record, but I'm really involved with some very bright people.
Yeah.
And we're doing some great work.
Awesome. I mean, do I want to ask this? What is one meaning behind calling the album Change?
Well, I've already been through the change.
Yeah. Oh, okay, there you go. That's awesome.
No, really.
I wasn't even thinking about it, for the record.
I
was just thinking that was an annoying question to ask, just in general, to explain anything, like a title or a lyric.
No.
But.
Well, no, it obviously is the change between
the band and solo.
B-52s, what I'm doing with the B-52s, and
and
this project here, you know.
Yeah.
And it's been a very growing experience. And I'm still growing. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
How do you feel about the new way, the new sort of music business? I mean, I don't know how much more you have to be involved in that side now anyhow.
Like, yeah, of course. It's a, you know, it's a different world. You know, than when I started in the 70s, you know, late 70s. And, I mean, yeah, and the B-52s, I mean, are, you know, sometimes we would be up on top and sometimes we'd go in the bottom. It's like this. I think that's any career, you know. And it's, and you survive those parts and you know how to do what you, you know, what it takes. And so doing this solo project is definitely a big change and starting all over. And I'm loving it.
You did a Pledge Music campaign, didn't you?
Yeah, that's the modern thing to do.
Right.
And so, and it makes, I think it, it helps pay the bills, obviously, for the solo. And it also helps and lets fans be feeling like they're part of it.
Mm-hmm. And invested in its success.
Yes, I think
getting the word out. And...
You know it, so much so. Mm-hmm. So much so. And I think that's very modern.
Yeah. Are the B-52s working on new music?
Well, I think we're not going to do an album. I think that's too much because we're
now or ever.
Working.
Yeah, just yeah.
Well, I think
we'll say never.
We've been kicking around the idea of doing a song or two, but that's it. Nothing big. We did Funplex, and that took us a long time to do. The way that we work is very labor intensive, and we don't have Keith Strickland anymore. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's that's really hard.
Right.
Are you all in Athens?
No, yeah, no. Everybody's spread to the winds. Fred lives in the city.
Yeah.
And Kate lives in Woodstock, New York. And, you know, I'm in Atlanta, Athens, you know, and Keith Strickland is in Key West.
But you meet up for touring. That's enough right now.
Yeah, uh-huh. I mean, everybody, all the team, all the crew, everybody, you know, they come in and it works. You know,
yeah.
We've been doing it for a long time.
Do you have a different persona? Does it feel like when you are doing your solo work versus the B-52s, there's a almost a shedding of a sort of character you have to play?
You know what? I'm having a good time either one. It's, like I said, it's a being creative. It's both. Both bands are very creative, and I get to you know, camp it up inside more. It's more, it's a little more subtle, but it's a little more avant-garde. And but with the B-52s, it's definitely, you know, a B-52 thing, you
right.
know. So, but you know, the thing is, and this is, I think, probably a lot of artists would say the same thing, is that you have to approach each night as like it's the first time, and just have fun with it. You know, if you're not having fun, other people are not having fun, you know. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you could put some drama in it or some darkness, you know, but really you have to enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah. You're awesome. I'm excited for you.
Oh, great. Thank you. Well, we're coming. I mean, we're playing tonight at the, what's the name of it? The Knitting Factory.
Yeah, you're playing all the cool spots. Nice. You were at the Bell House last night. Right?
Yeah, that was amazing. Very old. It looked like the Dutch had made it or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was really small but intimate.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I prefer the smaller things. You know, you can feel everybody's
energy. Yeah.
It's really great.
And then when are the B-52s out on the road?
We're actually in a couple of days. We're going to be playing Atlanta Symphony. You know, we're doing
Wild.
Symphony stuff.
That's awesome.
Isn't
great.
That amazing?
That's
Wait,
so
what do you mean?
Cool. Well, we're doing B-52 songs, written it out for
With the symphony?
For orchestra.
Oh my God, I love when artists
that's
do
amazing.
That.
Amazing. Yeah.
It is amazing, and it's really
fun.
Turns it upside down with the B-52s.
Ah,
and
yes.
we played not too long ago Boston Pops.
Oh my God.
Tonight.
Nice. Awesome.
And oh my God, there was the regular you know, symphony goers and also the you know, rock fans or B-52 fans and all mixing together, and it was very trippy.
That's,
it was so fun.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Are you guys doing the Hollywood Bowl, or have you done the Hollywood
did
Bowl?
Did the Hollywood Bowl. Did the
yeah, that's another good spot to do that.
There.
Yep.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that's a great venue.
So we enjoy it. You know, it's really amazing to see people that can read music, yeah. you know, interpret all this, you know,
yeah.
and, you know, they're all doing their parts and it just sounds like it's like fairyland or something. Yeah. It's amazing.
Did you have to push back against any bullshit at the idea of you going solo? Like anyone who was like,
oh yeah,
I don't want to do that.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, it's totally comes from left field. I mean, I haven't put out anything really. But you know what? It was the planets were aligned, and that's
yeah.
how. And I had the right people, right team,
right,
and
collaborators,
right bands,
huge,
and right collaborators.
Right.
And
you need.
I think a lot of people are fascinated that okay, this is interesting, you know. So I think there was, I had some people saying weird things, but you know, B-52s are used to that. Believe
yeah,
me.
Exactly. yeah. You've had your doubters, and you proved them wrong before. So yeah, this is just cares. The latest chapter.
Yeah, it rolls off.
Yeah,
I imagine it's like coming from from a band with one of the most distinctive sounds mm-hmm. that have come out from like the entire last century.
Yeah.
What is she going to do? What is she going to sound like? Right. You know, like what is her own stuff going to be?
And luckily I've had a lot of cheerleaders too, and people yeah. that are really wanting this to go well, you know, and I think we're proving ourselves, you know, and nobody's given us anything. We're every step of right. the way we're earning, you know, and that's the way I like it.
Yeah. No, yeah. that's good.
Yeah.
Don't owe nothing to nobody. No. But I mean, you have the voice, you have the songwriting, you have the success. I mean, it's like crazy that people see it as such a risk.
You know? No. I mean, yeah, it makes it easier.
I mean, you never know, but
I've done this. I do this. I know how to do this.
Exactly.
You know, but yeah.
And you waited until the time was right. You
yeah.
felt
the thing
like
is,
you...
is to tickle other people's imaginations with it, you know, yeah. and to have good work. And I think
yeah.
I'm not nervous. I should be nervous, but I'm not.
What the hell? What does being nervous do for
right,
you?
Right.
Just have fun.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Cindy, thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
And guys, listen to the album when it comes out next month or 2 months.
Yeah,
I feel like it's already like
yeah,
November,
we're
fall.
Still, right. we're still put, you know, publicity.
Yeah,
out.
But November, it's called Change, and we got a little preview, and it's amazing.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.
Wow.
Cindy.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.